So there's an old Hebrew story about a man named Reb Nachum. And Reb was not a very nice guy. He was a very selfish businessman. He pretty much all he cared about was making money, and he would swindle people every chance he got just so he could make a little more money. And one day he was in his carriage riding down the road. It was Sabbath, and there was a farmer who was stuck. His cart was stuck in the mud on the side of the road. And for whatever reasons on that day, Reb decided to do something kind. And he got out of his carriage and he helped the farmer push the cart back onto the road. Of course, the job was easy with two people. And the farmer was in his best clothes and he obviously was exacerbated. What is that? Exhausted in that. Yeah. And so they were just saying goodbye to each other once the cart got back on the road. And Reb just wasn't even thinking, and he just kind of flicked this little piece of mud off the shoulder of the farmer. He said, "Now you are ready for the Sabbath feast." So many years later, Reb makes his transition, and he's come to that place of life review. And it turns out that he's meeting with two different angels. One is the accusatory angel. I didn't know there was an accusatory angel, but apparently there is. The prosecuting attorney, that's basically how this plays out. Yeah. And the defending angel or defending attorney. And so the prosecutorial angel, the accusing angel, has so much as he's reviewing Reb's life, like his abuses of power, his, you know, not being kind to his wife or his children, engaging in the community in no way that was a positive contribution, having no friends. And so he's, you know, just adding all this stuff to the scale, and it just like, boom, you know, hits the side of the floor. And so the angel of mercy, it's like, wow, what am I going to do here? So he starts reviewing Reb's life from the very beginning moment until the end and kind of going back and forth and scanning for something I must be able to put on this side of the scale. And that time when Reb got out of the carriage and helped the farmer comes up. And out of desperation, this angel of mercy throws the entire cart on the other side of the scale. And so things start to, you know, teeter and level, and then it still moves toward the accusing angel's side. And so the angel of mercy says, "There must be something else." Scan, and the little flick of mud. Takes that flick of mud, throws it on the scale. Things balance. Oh, and it tips in his favor, and Reb enters paradise. And of course, the point of that story is even a very small kindness can have an enormous impact for ourselves and for the people that we serve. So hopefully you don't find yourself much like Reb in how you show up in the world. Of course, we all have our days and our moments, right? And if you do find you're leaning that direction, hopefully today's message will help you, inspire you to find more kindness and give more of all that you have to give in the world. And of course, if you're already, most of you in this room, regularly serving and giving in the world and showing up in those ways, then I hope today you'll just be affirmed in the fact that you are on the right track for your spiritual journey. Service is an antidote. It's an antidote to depression. It's an antidote to isolation. It's an antidote for low self-esteem. It lifts us up naturally when we give to others. Service connects us with life and with each other. It fulfills our sense of belonging. It fulfills our sense of purpose. It gives us a sense that we matter, that we make a positive impact, that the things that we do and the things that we say make a difference in life in general, in the you know, general sense and feeling and energy of the universe, and also for that individual, perhaps, that we are giving to, or that community that we are contributing to. It also has that sense of aligning us with Spirit, because we are aligned with our values when we give to the places and the causes and the things that we care about, right? That we want to see more of in the world, that we like the work they do, or because we give to somebody because we love that person, or we think that person maybe could just use a leg up today in whatever ways that we might be able to help. And so, in general, service makes us feel good, right? It makes us feel, you know, uplifted and full of love and all of those things I just mentioned, that sense of contribution that we give. Erickson Mason said this: God has so constituted our nature that we cannot be happy unless we are, or at least think we are, the means of good to others. We just come in that way. And service gives us the opportunity to be the divine embodied. It gives us the opportunity to be those hands and feet of God, essentially, to be that which Spirit cannot be in the world, because only we have that gift of physicality and spirituality, and to be able to direct Spirit through us, through this vehicle that we have, is a really special opportunity, right? When we serve others, we are serving God. In Matthew, Jesus is speaking as the Christ when he says, "Come, you who are blessed, and take your inheritance. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I had no clothes, and you brought me clothes. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was in prison, and you came and visited me." And we all say, "Christ, when did I do these things? When were you hungry? When did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink, or without clothes and give you clothing? When did I visit you or care for you when you were sick? I never saw you in prison." And Jesus, as that Spirit of the Christ, says, "Truly I tell you, whenever you did for one of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me." Every time we do a kindness, we are serving the divine. We are serving the allness of God. We are serving the eachness of God. We are serving the divine masters and those who have come before us, those that we most resonate with. All of that is in service to something greater. So, can you think of something that you have done recently to contribute in a positive way to somebody's life? Any little thing you might have done, or big thing. Maybe close your eyes for a minute and just recall something. Let something come up in your heart, some way in which you have given to another. And as you recall that and maybe allow yourself to relive it for a moment here, notice how it feels as you give in this way. Do you have a sense of the positive impact that your contribution makes? How it makes a difference for that being or that individual or that community that receives your gift. The truth is that while we're having fun doing whatever we're doing, as it brings us joy, it spreads joy. And so that's why we end every service by saying, "Have fun and spread joy." Because as we go out in the world, and it's natural, right, as we are having fun, we are spreading joy, and as we are doing something meaningful, we are having fun and also spreading joy. So even if you don't want to be a spreader of joy, you can't help yourself. Mahatma Gandhi said, "All other pleasures and possessions pale into nothingness before service, which is rendered in spirit of joy." All other pleasures and possessions pale in comparison. that spirit of joy that is in the giving. You know, simply witnessing acts of generosity and kindness, it bolsters our faith in humanity, doesn't it? You ever notice that? Like when you see somebody do good, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Humanity is good. There is that sense of goodness, and I have faith. I have greater faith in humanity. It's like last week when I was speaking of Gen Z and how their kind of tag word and value is wholesome. And I'm not sure if I told this service, but their favorite videos to watch online are things like sweet little kitty videos or videos of like somebody doing something kind, like being kind to somebody without shelter, or giving them something to eat or to drink or providing them shelter. And it's those videos that that generation, 11 to 26-year-olds, enjoy more than the generation before them that enjoys more satirical and dark humor kinds of videos. But it's natural, I think, for all of us to enjoy that, to enjoy witnessing acts that allow us to feel a greater sense of faith in each other. So later today, we'll be celebrating the angels among us, as you heard, in our annual volunteer appreciation. And I always heard when you have a tickle in your throat, some truth wants to come out. We'll see what Spirit has in store for us here. That's right. So later we'll be celebrating the angels among us, and in that genre, I looked to angel.com and found some really inspiring stories of service. And one of them is this man who was telling a story about his family a few years back and how his wife had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And his 14-year-old son wanted to do something to contribute to her medical bills. He said, we're a lower middle class family living in a lower middle class neighborhood, and so the medical bills are a big deal to us, and asking our neighbors to contribute is a huge ask. But my son had this idea, he said. He's 14 years old. I wanted to support him. And his idea was that he was going to go door to door with a pair of hair clippers and have the person shave a part of his head for a donation of their choosing. And so he says, Dad, what do you think? Is $100 goal too much? And the dad says, well, son, don't get your hopes up. So the boy goes out with the clippers, and he comes back in not a very long time with a bald head and $1,225. He even got a few $100 bills. So people are good and generous, you know? Sometimes much more so than we give credit for. I know a lot of times when we're looking out in the world and we're seeing things happening, we begin to lose our faith in each other and in the human family and think, oh, what's gone? What's happening here, you know? Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Remember that old term? But, you know, it's those moments that we might go to those places in our minds or our hearts that we can use affirmative prayer to turn things around and speak the truth, that people are good and generous. Because that's the essence of who we are, right? I am divine. That's the essence of who we all are. Hurting people hurt. That's all. Hurting people hurt. We get off track. All of us get off track sometimes. All of us step out of divine alignment. We can't step out of divine connection. That's impossible. But we get misaligned a little bit sometimes with things we say and the things we do that we don't really mean. And so it allows us then to come back to that truth, to speak some truth like this. People are good and generous. I am good and generous. Do you know that? You are good and generous. Look in the mirror sometime and say, I'm good. I am good and generous. I am kind. I give of myself freely. And beyond expectations, we allow ourselves then to move into the truth of who we are as divine beings, as spiritual beings having this human experience. Service can foster awe, you know, when we behold how it works. And sometimes Spirit lets us know how it all comes together. In a beautiful, divinely ordered circle, sometimes things come back to us. Another anonymous storyteller tells about a time when he was driving down the road and he sees this elderly man changing his tire. And so he pulls over to help him. And he said, within 30 seconds, I realized I know this guy. He said, this was the firefighter who pulled my family and me out of a 4-story apartment building when I was a child. And so he changes the man's tire. And then he said, we just stood there, shaking hands, looking to each other's eyes. And at the same time, we said, thank you. Those kinds of things, you know, happen, I think, so that we can be reminded of the spirit that is in everything. That God is in the details and is in everything, and it comes back around as we give, we receive, as we receive, we give. It's all part of this beautiful circle of life. Service is free. That's another one of the beautiful things. And, you know, so much of spirituality is free, right? Spiritual qualities are free. Spiritual experiences are free. Giving of ourselves, it's free. It's freely given. It has no financial cost to it. Now, in truth, volunteers, they say, the statistics say, are 67% more likely to also be people who donate to things they care about, to places they care about. And so there is that that tends to go together, but service in and of itself is free. There is no financial cost to it. It's also free in the sense that you don't have to have a certain education or particular skills or professional background to just give. To give in whatever ways you feel moved and motivated in the moment. Can be as simple as a smile or a hug or holding the door for somebody. Can be as simple as planting a seed or pulling a weed. It doesn't have to necessarily be an earth-shattering, life-changing moment, although you probably in your lifetime will be involved in that kind of service as well. And so it's all of this, isn't it? Recognizing all of this. Another anonymous angel shares that he was working in his local convenience store, and in comes a man with a guide dog and a cane and heads over to the greeting card section. And he takes out a greeting card and he puts it about this close to his face, trying to figure out what the message says. And the man working behind the cash register is wanting to get over to help him, but he's got a long line of folks. He said, just when I see this, this big burly truck driver comes over to the man and says, can I read one of those cards for you? And the man says, sure. And he said, they continued where the man read every single card on the rack out loud until he got to the last one. And the guy says, oh, my wife is going to love that one. You know, it doesn't really matter where, you know, we have these ideas sometimes of people when we see them and expectations of who they are and judgments about who they are. And let yourself be surprised. Let yourself be awed. Let yourself be reminded people are good and generous and kind. Let that be our mantra. Because you know what? When it becomes the thing we speak and know in our hearts, it's what happens. It's a way that we transform the world is by just speaking that to ourselves and within ourselves and blessing others quietly with that. We bring forth the truth, the goodness. You know, when we see something otherwise, it's just kind of a mirage, really. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, said, evil is a parasite. It only lives as long as the parent will host it and feed it. As soon as it is severed from its relationship with the parent, the host, it dissolves. It goes back into nothingness because that's what it is, nothing. It's a creation that we feed or we sever from. The thing that lasts, the thing that is true, the thing that has, you know, power to keep going is the goodness, the generosity, the kindness, the love, because that is of the divine. That is of the absolute truth. That is the eternal life that we live and breathe and extend through our service. So maybe you're, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of random acts of kindness. Anybody ever hear of random acts of kindness? Senseless acts of beauty? Yeah. So that started with a woman, Ann Herbert, who wrote that sentence on a placemat in a restaurant in Sausalito. Just one day, it was in 1982 specifically, she wrote Random Acts of Kindness and Senseless Acts of Beauty. And she wrote it as an antidote to another phrase, Random Acts of Violence and Senseless Acts of Cruelty. And I love that we all knew the first one, and then everyone just went, oh, to the second one, right? That's because this is really my point. And then another year later in 11 years later, in 1993, Ann Herbert wrote a book called Random Acts of Kindness and Senseless Acts of Beauty. And Jack Womack wrote Random Acts of Senseless Violence, which was a dystopian novel. So we all have heard of Random Acts of Kindness because her book took off, and it became a foundation, and it was established in 1995 as a foundation, and it's still alive and well, and that foundation creates school curriculum for children. It also just has a bunch of different ideas for random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty on its website, and it perpetuates this idea. Their basic motto is make kindness the norm. So when you think of this, you know, these two books that were authored and these two ideas, it's like it really is an emblematic of our journey in life, right? The choices that we always have of which path do we take. So what will we author? Will you be the author of Random Acts of Kindness? And what will you put into the world? And also, what will you read? What will you take in? What will you watch? What will you spiritually feed your consciousness with? Because if we feed ourselves with senseless acts of violence and cruelty, then it's going to be really hard for us to show up in the world then in that way where we are in kindness, in generosity, in goodness. It makes it more challenging for us when we have taken in all this negativity to then show up in the ways that we want to show up. And so it's recognizing that giving and receiving is also, what am I consuming? What am I taking in? What uplifts me? What puts me in that vibration of kindness and generosity so that I can be that more easily and effortlessly in the world? So perhaps we could all take on the mission ourselves. What random act of kindness will I do today? What senseless act of beauty? What if we all in this room and online and outdoors, if all of us said, every day this week, I'm going to do one random act of kindness or senseless act of beauty, and all week long. So you multiply that by everybody who's in this room, and by that I also mean watching, and that you multiply that by all of us, and let's say 7 days, right? And we each do one thing. Look at all that goodness that ripples out into the world. It's pay it forward. Remember that idea? Have you heard that idea before? That came from a novel by Katherine Ryan Hyde, in which this young seventh grader is taught by his social studies teacher to go out and all the kids are supposed to create an action plan to bring good into the world, essentially to change the world for the better. And Trevor McKinney really takes this young boy, and he decides that he names his movement Pay It Forward. And that the idea is that every time you receive a favor or something good, you don't give it back to that person necessarily, but out to three more people. You pay it forward instead of returning it directly. And then he draws a map on the board, you know, those three, and then those three, you know, give to three more, and on it goes, right? And so it's that idea of the ripple effect. So it doesn't have to be the scientific model that Trevor created of three and three and three. It can just be knowing that every time you do something good, it has a ripple effect. And as you give forward, as you are given to, and you think, oh, yeah, somebody did something nice for me, I think I'll do something nice for someone else, it's very natural and organic, and it has that multiplied blessing built into it. So maybe you want to share more of yourself in the world, but you're not sure how. In what ways you really, maybe you're not sure, what are my gifts really, or what is it that I have to give today, or what do I want to give? What would bring me joy? But that really will get you closer to the answer. What does bring you joy? What do you love to do? That will show you what is natural for you to share in the world. We all have a unique soul expression. Each one of us has something to give in a way that only we can give. And so trusting that and asking Spirit and allowing yourself to be given to given to that right match, and trusting too that then the right match of the need or contribution will meet that. The poet David White says it, of course, poetically, to wake the giant inside of ourselves, we have to be faithful to our own eccentric nature and bring it out into conversation with the world. To awaken that giant inside, to really know what is eccentric, what is unique. And you don't have to search your mind for it. It's natural. It's just like, maybe ask your best friend or ask the people who are closest to you in your life, because sometimes we are not able to see in the same way. So ask them to reflect back to you. What do you see as some of my gifts or some of the things I contribute to the world? What do I contribute to your life? And as you do so, you'll learn more and more. As Simon Sinek, who talks about what is your why, does this. He says, you know, get into conversation with a dear friend and ask them, why are you my friend? And that person might say something general, say, no, but why do you want me as your friend? And they might say something else, and you're going to say, no, but specifically, like what? Please heap it on. What do I provide for you in your life that maybe another friend doesn't show up in quite the same way? And it helps you get clearer and clearer and clearer on, this is my gift. This is what I give to the world. This is naturally who I am. So, you know, we had tending our sacred grounds here not long ago, about a month ago, and it was a day of service here at Unity where people were weeding and cleaning and doing all kinds of things. And one of the things we incorporated purposefully into that day was the ringing of our bell out here. And just randomly, somebody would ring the bell. I think it rang about 3 times during the several hours. And the idea was that when the bell rang, that you paused in whatever you were doing and just took a moment to look around, notice the people that were serving with you. Or look at your hands and notice, you know, what you had been gifting to whatever you were doing. Notice what you were doing. Or look at the earth and give to the earth or this beautiful campus. So it's just a moment to pause and to appreciate. And as you consider for a moment all that happens to make this place run... I mean, I, who am steeped in this all the time, am surprised when I start to reflect on it and write it down. Like today, I thought, well, what does it take to put on a Sunday service? And I thought about all the people who, all through the week, there are meetings, there's music rehearsals, there's planning, there's sometimes the sound or switch comes in during the week to test equipment, but certainly on Sunday morning, there's, you know, sound checks and all that happen. John is often here very early, making sure all the switch equipment works right, in addition to running it throughout the day. The videographers come at the second service and record the service, live stream the service. And then there are, you know, scripts written and order of service written and all of that stuff that is set up a production schedule. There's slides created and an e-blast goes out and guest packets are created and stuffed and connection cards are stuffed in the seat back pockets around you and those electronic giving cards. Somebody does all this. In the morning, somebody opens the doors and somebody sets out the cushions and the chairs for everyone. And another volunteer comes and makes the coffee and tea, the same person every week, in fact. And then somebody sets up for the children. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The greeters greet, the facilitators facilitate, the stage managers manage, the ushers usher. I mean, there is a lot going on here. Then the teachers and the assistants come and they teach the children the lessons and make sure everybody's safe and having a good time. There is a lot that happens. And everything that I named, I would say 90 to 95% of it is done by volunteers. You know, the staff every year on this day for Volunteer Appreciation Day, we talk about how can we put on Volunteer Appreciation Day without involving our volunteers. It's a mind bender. And still we can't do it, you know, every time. So it's just, it's that just deep appreciation for all of you. And even if you aren't volunteering yet, your presence, your engagement here, your participation makes a difference. I do, in the spirit of service today, though, want to honor specifically our volunteers. So if you have volunteered in the last year, will you stand and just remain standing? Look at all these people, 1 year. And then if you've ever volunteered in the history of Unity of Walnut Creek, will you please stand? Look around and appreciate. These are the people that make this community run. They are the heartbeat of our community. And you who are sitting are also part of that heartbeat. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your beloved service. Mother Teresa said, at the heart of life is service, and your service is sacred. I invite you to speak this affirmation with me. Together, my service is sacred, and so it is.